So we are in Siman Kuf Mem Ches. Most of the things that we learn in Hilchos Avodah Zarah have been around the third parak of Maseches Avodah Zarah. Here we go to Daf Beis Amud Aleph. We go all the way right to the very first mission in Maseches Avodah Zarah, where it brings up the idea of doing business with non-Jews in relation to their Yom Tovim, in relation to their holidays. Mm-hmm. So the Torah says, Shloshu Yamin Lifnei Dehem Milvad Yom Ha'ed, Aser Lases V'Lases Himahem, 3 days before their holiday, excluding the holiday itself, meaning the 3 days besides the day of the holiday itself, one is not permitted to do business with them. Right, what is the reason for such a gezeira? There's a din d'rabbanan, you're not allowed to do business with them. So there's 2 reasons why not to do business with them. One of them is because they're generally in a good mood, and if they strike some kind of deal with you, they'll be so thrilled that they'll thank their God, so you'll be leading them along the ways to Avodah Zarah. And the second one is that you might be supplying them for their Avodah Zarah ability to do that Avodah Zarah. So those are the 2 things that we are nervous about. There's a few other concerns as well, but those are the main concerns as to why one is not permitted to do business with them within 3 days of the Yantif. Now, there is a question, I guess we'll get into that within the Shulchan Aruch itself.
Wasn't there a point where, I'm not sure if it was this class or somebody, that there was somebody said 3 days before and 3 days
yeah,
after?
Yeah, so there's 3 days before and 3 days after.
Oh,
that is
like
a
never.
Right, that is a machlokes. I guess if it is a once a week holiday, that would mean never. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that is the halacha in Eretz Yisrael, but in Chutzal Eretz, it would only be the days before. So, if it is a holiday. Well, no, it is. it is, but that is an issue. So the Rambam has no problem saying, "Well, yeah, okay, that's why I don't live in Europe." Haha. But for you who live in Europe, that is a question. But we're going to see that a lot of this gets mitigated. So that should is we don't have to go that far. Although it is in the Beis Yosef and Aleph. If you, I don't know where you are in your Beis Yosef, but you see there's an Aleph where we are. Aleph Shloshu Yamin Lifnei Dehem, right? So there's also an Aleph Beis. There's also a second section that has Aleph that's following Dalad. In the Beis Yosef, you see. Oh, you got it? Okay. So that's a very long Beis Yosef, as you can see, but he quotes the question that Tosfos asks in the very first daf in Maseches Avodah Zarah, and that is a very, very lumdish shaila of, but we see that nobody actually does this. Or, I should say, everybody does this. Even though the very first mission of Avodah Zarah says that you're not supposed to, we see that everybody does. So that is a kasha. In Tosfos' world, that is a kasha. In some other Rishonim's world, that would be, well, that's not a problem. Everybody is just simply wrong. But Tosfos interprets that as being a question. How could it possibly be that everybody does this if it seems to be in violation of the first mission of Avodah Zarah? Now, I remember hearing as a kid, that Jews for a long time did not have Maseches Avodah Zarah, that there were Rishonim that did not actually have the Masechta. So when I was at my parents' house this past Shabbos, I saw my father's trove from the Sfarim sale, which he neglected to tell me that he was going to. And he actually made the purchase of the 2 collected writings, the 2 books that are out, collected writings of Dr. Grach, of Chaim Soloveitchik. So so in volume 1, so I picked one up and I took one home with me. He knows about that. So in that, in volume 1, he has an essay entitled, Can Halachic Texts Teach History? That is the name of his essay. I think it's one of his most famous essays that he's ever published. And there, in the first, one of the first footnotes in that article, that happens to be the essay that I tried reading a little bit over Shabbos, and he has a massive footnote where he talks about that. And he says that there are Rishonim that clearly did not have Maseches Avodah Zarah, and we know that simply because there are dinim that they're pondering about, which are explicit Mishnayos in Maseches Avodah Zarah. So there are Rishonim. It's not like none of the Rishonim had it, and like Rashi tells us, none of them had it. But there were Rishonim, there were towns, he points out, there were towns of where people were that didn't actually have the Masechta. So I didn't work it through as to exactly how you figure. I just read it and moved on and took a note of it and come back to that another time. But that idea is out there of Rishonim, like the Or Zeruah, for instance, not having access to a Masechta Avodah Zarah. But anyways, so here Tosfos asks that question, and Tosfos comes up with a few answers. So we could read the beginning, but I'm not really planning on plowing through the entire Beis Yosef here. It's also a very long Tosfos itself in Masechta Avodah Zarah, but there it says, Amas Nisim, Lifnei Edeim, Kasav Kulu, right, Mishum Da'azir L'modim. Once they're going to go and thank their Lord. Right, so what it sounds like is the dealings with them of buying and selling stuff. Because of our Rush, the Rush quotes from Rabbeinu Tam, who asked on this, that the Gemara itself seems to not include all types of businesses. So the Rush quotes from Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam says, well, if you look at the examples in the Gemara of people doing business with non-Jews, they only seem to be using things that are the examples of things that are prohibited to be used that are talked about in the Gemara are only things that have to do with being brought in the for their avodah zarah. So Rabbeinu Tam's answer number one is it doesn't have to do with buying the Diet Coke in the can of Diet Coke in the gift shop or the other gift shop materials that the Jews might be hawking. That's okay as long as it's not something that would actually be brought as avodah zarah. That's one. L'fichach perish Rabbeinu Tam, right? Lo shaych azul moda ela be le that we only have this problem where you buy and sell and lend and pay that you're going to have a significant amount of profit. It's actually something that you would actually be able to use.
Wait a minute. Significant amount of profit.
Right, the buying and selling where they're going to have a lot of money to be able to use for their avodah zarah, but just the buying.
Oh,
meaning I'm going to sell. I'm going to lend them a lot of money, and now they're going to be able to throw a party for their thing. But just the buy and sell, that's not considered such a great revach. People don't praise the Lord because they're able to buy an ice cream cone for only 5 shekel instead of 6 shekel. Right, so therefore it's not going to lead to that kind of thing. And other types of businesses, you don't necessarily know what's going to be the outcome of it. You don't necessarily know that you're going to be successful. It's going to be a great deal. So therefore, Rabbeinu Tam has just crossed out a lot of the meaning of that Mishnah. That, it's okay. It's only really things that are particularly having to do with purchasing things for the avodah zarah itself. The next paragraph...
Is he saying this within this 3-day period?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. The only
so
issue
even when in the 3-day period, etc.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Right, the next section talks about that as well. Then also gets into the issue of Eva, that there's actually if not being able to sell them things is going to lead to some type of Eva. So that's also a reason to perhaps be able to get away without doing it. And then we get up to the idea that their avodah zarah is not necessarily so. That their worshipping of avodah zarah is not necessarily the real McCoy like it was once upon a time. That's not mentioned here. That's mentioned at the very end of the of this siman. So let's go there while we're still in this half of the book. Then we'll follow it all up with the way it is in the Shulchan Aruch itself. So go to the very end of the siman, Yud Beis. And this is also quoted in that Tosfos on the first daf in Maseches Avodah Zarah. So you see, it is right. Idna kasav harashbam b'shem Rashi shakol mutter. And nowadays, everything is mutter. Right? Why is everything mutter? Kolomar kol ma shenisker b'simin zel iser ha'idna mutter. All things mentioned in the simin nowadays are permissible. Why? The time is shum to lav ovde avodazarahim, that they're not real avodazaranics anymore. Kolomar de'inim yodim b'tiv avodazar. They don't really know the details of their avodazar kol kach. K'tamim imperakamet l'chulim goyim shabachutz la'aretz lav ovde avodazarahim. As it's beferish gemara in Maseches Chulim, that goyim and chutz la'aretz are not worshippers of avodazar. Now, that's not necessarily what the gemara doesn't have to mean that, but that's the way that it's being interpreted. That outside of Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to worry that they're really doing avodah zara. El minigav same be a day and below azli umoda. Right, that they're just doing what their fathers did, and they're continuing it on.
So they're saying now, like the Romans worship Jupiter, we're not doing avodah zara.
So this is Rabbi Cohen. I don't know if you're after davening one day. Rabbi Cohen came, was for some reason very bothered by this. Now, how could it be? What do you mean? Catholicism is us, or it's about Zara, so what's the issue? So the answer, I think, to that question is, although I didn't see it beferish, but I think the answer to that question is the act of Avodah Zarah is still the act of Avodah Zarah. But all the things that are surrounding Avodah Zarah, but what do they actually believe? Do they actually believe that that idol is what is doing this? No, they believe that they're if they believe in supernatural powers, they don't believe that it's emanating from that idol. They believe it's coming from some being that exists, whatever, Lamala Minateva, whatever, or in some, right? Which what we call, we refer to that being as God, right? They may not have the same hashkafic perspective on God here, there, neshamas everywhere, or separate, whatever, but they believe that there is a Boreola. So I think that's what he means, that's what this section means by removing them from Avodah Zarah, that if they do believe in a God, right? Ted Cruz. So Ted Cruz believes in a God, right? But he's not necessarily worshipping Avodah Zarah. Because it's questionable whether what he is actually Avodah Zarah. But even beyond that, it's not an idol. He's not worshipping Avodah Zarah. He has a God, and they just will have a different way of demonstrating and serving and all of those kinds of things.
So the time of the Gemara was Rome already Christianized?
Talk about Christianity in the Gemara.
May not have really been anything
over there, but okay. I actually noticed. I noticed on Amazon a fellow named Dr. Shai Sekunda, who is a contemporary of mine from Yeshiva. So he went off to do his doctorate on Persian. Like Persia during the time of the Gemara, and he actually just published a book entitled The Persian Talmud. So if you're interested in that, I'm sure that is a interesting topic of discussion there. He talks about, I've heard him give a few shiurim online, talks about Zoroastrianism and how that impacts the Gemara itself. All that. So that was, so he just published his first book on the topic. So that is the and then he goes on and quotes a few Rishonim that make this point as well. That's what Tosfos writes. Right, Tosfos not based on Aleph and the Rush and the Ran, etc.
Justify the actions of what people are already doing, but a priori, like lechatchila, you're not supposed to do.
Okay. All right. So hold on a second. So we'll see about that. There are some that is an issue. So if we look here at the Darkei Moshe, here makes the comment, Uva Mordechai, so far what we've seen? We've seen that, well, as long as what you're not doing is going straight to Avodah Zarah, that would be permissible, right? The dealings where, right, we're not actually supporting their worshipping, that might be okay. The other thing to talk about is Rav Mishum Eva, although we see a few more details about that Eva issue, and this answer has to do with, well, they're not really real Avodah Zarah Nix anyway. So the Darkei Moshe quotes from the Mordechai, Rosh Parakamad Avodah Zarah, right, dealing with the same issue. Hitir mitamach. He has another reason. Ve'el zel lishon is what the Mordechai says. Umutir lahavos l'goyim b'zman hazeh, af agav shehim nostim takruvus Avodah Zarah, l'galeach b'yom idam. Even though they're going to go ahead and bring it for their bring of Avodah Zarah, on their holiday, the Vishain knows them the Galeach. Legalach. Even though they're going to give it to their Galach on their holiday, because they don't give it to the Shain knows them the Galach Kolkach Shelo Yuchal Limso Osu Dover Maat Levaso Migoyim Achirim. That they don't give so much that he's not going to have to do other businesses as well, or something like that. That it's not really a sufficient amount. Even though we don't, even though we wouldn't really lend in, but it's not so terrible.
You're just saying it's a small percentage of the business? Is that, I'm not sure
I think so. The Mordechai doesn't get quoted lalacha, so this is my only the snippet of it. I didn't get a chance to look at it. I think that's what he's saying. B'yom edam l'fisha ein nosn legalach kol kasha lo yuchal limtzos odover ma'at levos megoyim acherim. Oh, because he'd be able to get it from other people. It's not like he's fully being supported by this person's gift. He'd be able to get it from other people's gifts as well.
So, from the perspective of the giver, he's giving him something.
He's giving him something, but it's not.
It's not
right. But
we're making a quantitative judgment.
Well,
to whom he's giving it,
right?
He's still got
to
go.
But why is he giving it to the priest? What's the priest doing with this money?
Okay. Yeah.
Right. So the original idea is, what's the priest doing with the money? The priest is going to bring a korban, right? That's what we would assume from Gemara land. But at least Mishnah land. But in but that's not what's going on here. What's the priest going to do with this money?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to buy a couch or pay the heating bill or paint the or scrape the windows on the outside, something like that. So then he says, "V'chasav Trumas Hadeshin Simon Kuf Tzadihena." This is one of the famous Trumas Hadeshins because it's not in the Trumas Hadeshin. I mean, this is the other one. There's two Tshuvos that are in the Trumas Hadeshin that are not in the in a standard old school edition of Trumas Hadeshin. Simon Kuf Tzadihena, Kuf Tzadivav are absent because it goes straight from Kuf Tzadidalet to Kuf Tzadizayin and just leaves out two. So it's clear that something's missing. So the second one we came across already, that has to do with the priest that has the cross patches on his thing on his shirt, right? And he was upset that people weren't bowing to him when they were giving him his
whatever
money he was supposed to be giving. He was supposed to be giving, and they told him, "Oh, it's because you're wearing the cross," and he therefore wanted to make sure he still got his money, so he took off the garment, whatever. So that's him in Kuf Tzadi Vav, but Kuf Tzadi Hey. The question is, right? But kama iros noagim hayehudim lishloach doronos lachomrim uleshal saltonos biyom shmini lenitel, that they would give a gift to the priests or the people in charge, really the people in charge, on the eighth day of Nittel, the eighth day of. I'm reading from the Trumas Hadeshin itself. I'm just reading the question, then the answer is going to be in the Beis Yosef. Keshe mischadshin lahem hashana yesh chashash sehirus bedavar olav, which is right on the eighth day. What is the eighth day after Christmas? That is
New Year's.
Mm-hmm. Right, so they would give it on New Year's. So do we have to be concerned? Do people have to be concerned about being careful about this or not? I mean, they want it specifically on that day. Is there a problem with us giving it to them on that day? So he says that yes, one should avoid it. Yira, where does he pick up here? Let's just read the answer here in the Darkei Moshe. It says the class of Trumas Hadeshin. That's the question that he's answering. So Simon Kuf Tzadihei, right? The Af Bizman Hazeh Imratzu Lishloach Lo Biyom Hashmini Sha'achar Nitol Shekorin. How do you spell that? What is that? How do you pronounce that? New Year.
New Year.
Right.
Okay.
So if they want to give him a gift, which is on New Year's Day, Yishlach Lo Mibeod Yom. The best thing is to give it to him the day before. Right. First of all, you'll get a better tax deduction that way in the previous year. But not to give it on the day itself. Right? So why not? Why shouldn't you give it on the day itself? So he says it's because, does he have it in this part or is it only in the tshuva itself? He says because that was considered good luck for them. That they appreciated getting on that day because they felt that was like a good simon if they were getting a lot of money on that day. So therefore, the Jews wanted to try to give it to him earlier. Now they can't give it to him later because later looks bad. All the Jews are delaying. That's later, but they don't mind getting it a little bit earlier.
Why are they giving him anything?
It sounds like that was the gift that they would give. It was like an obligated. That was just assumed. There was something that they had to do. There's some amount of money that they had to give to this guy every year.
No. We're talking about attacks/bribe.
But a lot of these communities, the way a lot of these types of communities, it wasn't necessarily that you had a head tax, that you had a social security number, and you had to send the check into the IRS. Is that the Jewish community was required to come up with an X amount of money, this is how they were going to get it done, and they appreciated getting it on that day. So they would give it the day before. They didn't mind getting it the day earlier. New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve was also okay. So they would get it that day. The only problem is, pointed out the Truma Zadeshin, that every once in a while, January 1st would fall out on Sunday, which it did.
This coming year?
Okay. So every once in a while it falls out on Sunday, in which case you have a problem giving it the day before. So are you able to then give it on that day? So the Truma Zadeshin Paskin, yes. You could give it on that day itself. The Isbe Eva, because there is Eva that will get angry with you if you don't do it on that day. If you give it too late. Or way before. Because they get a simon, they feel that there's something powerful about getting it on that day. So it almost makes it work. I mean, does that make it better or worse? The fact that they think that there's some significance to getting on that day. In a way, the transition ultimately says it's okay, because otherwise that will lead to Eva. Otherwise that will lead to some type of problem in the relationships with one to another. Right, so apparently they couldn't.
But,
I don't know.
Or maybe they consider it to
start. I don't know. Apparently, that wasn't enough.
You can't give it out on the Shabbos.
So he can't give it on Shabbos because it's looks up. So he paskin, it's better to give it before, whatever before means, right? So maybe before does mean, right? So you'd always give it the day before, but if the day before was Shabbos, so you can't. It would mean on the day itself, and that would be problematic. But anyways, the Truma Zadeshin comes through and says that that is permissible because of the Eva concern. So
on the day it is, let's say the Sunday.
He mattered even
Sunday,
giving
January
it on that
1st.
Day,
yeah. Well,
because
yeah.
of Eva. Now I don't know if he says here.
All right, I didn't see that.
Yeah, so he has a line here at the end. The kol shekim b'zman hazeh d'lo shchichi kulei hayta az liyumodu, that they're not going to go and take it and use it for worship. So he throws in that as well. So because of we're not really concerned they're going to actually be doing a avodah zarah, and because if we don't do it on that day, it's going to lead to Eva. So therefore, we'll permit to doing it on that day. But both of those are important parts to the
Avodah.
Okay. So with that, we'll run through some of the highlights of the Shulchan Aruch itself in Siman Kuf Mem Ches. So.
So what's the answer to my question about can you do it with chatchila?
So Siman Kuf Mem Ches, if you have it all in front of you, you'll notice the remote doesn't really make any comments until the very end, until Yud Beis. So the Kuf Mem Ches is setting up Shulchan Aruch's perspective, which is really going to be mostly Gemara based on the Maseches Avodah Zarah, and then at the very end, as we already saw, Yud Beis is where he says, oh, by the way, there's some people that hold that this doesn't apply anymore, and that's where the Rama steps in and tells you, oh, by the way, this is how things really work up in our parts of the world. So the Shulchan Aruch begins by saying, Shlosh yom lifnei chagam shel ovdei kochavim asur likach mihem v'limkor lehem. You're not allowed to buy, you're not allowed to sell for them. Davar hamiskayim, something that will last. That's also one of the conditions. It has to be something that actually will make it to Yantiv. So that's one of the answers within Tosfos. Oh, what are the things that the Jews are buying and selling? Things that, an ice cream cone's not going to last till the holiday anyways. So Davar ad yom chagam kigun yirakos v'tavshil, like vegetables and cooked things. So too you're prohibited to lend and borrow. And then he adds in below ribbis. I'm not sure why that's being added in.
Isn't part of it that this makes them happy and then they praise the God?
Oh, maybe that's it. So you're not allowed to do it without ribbis, but if you do it with ribbis, I'm not going to praise the Lord.
Not going to feel like
okay. That. Yeah, that might be it. So love us mehem v'lifron v'lifron mehem, and to lend to them and to pay them back. Milv b'shtar al amashkan aval malva al pen nifrim mehem b'fnei shu kamatzim liyadam. But if they owe you al pes, so you're allowed to collect that, because otherwise you're never going to see it again. Right? It was on the dam tekifa afilu b'shtar chashiv kamatzim liyadam v'im hi melva berivis afilu mashkan chashiv kamatzim liyadam. That if you have reason to suspect that they're not going to pay you back even in milv b'shtar, you're allowed to go and try to get that back as well. Meaning you don't have to suffer a great loss in terms of money that was already lent. Beis Gimel, let's go to Dalet. Dalet is the three-day thing. Dalet. Bamed varim amurim be'eretz Yisrael. Right, that's Gimel. Is about the three or four. So where is that? In Eretz Yisrael. About the Shar Ratzos Eino Aser Elo Yom Chagam Bilvad. Right, but outside of the land of Israel, it's only a problem on the holiday itself. Oh, one second.
No, outside it's only a problem. Mm-hmm. So it's not even a problem 3 days before.
Yeah, okay, I made a mistake. Yeah, 3 days after our I think that's a machlokas how we paskin on the 3 days after.
But what about 3 days before?
Is 3 days before is a problem. No, that's in Israel. That's for sure a problem. That's what the Mishnah says.
Okay.
It's questionable what the story is with after. And in Chutz La'aretz, the only concern is then is only the day of the holiday itself. That's what we learn in Dalet. Hey. Okay, so hey is based on the Gemara. We didn't basically quotes that Gemara, but we'll see in Shulchan Aruch, and then I'll tell you the background behind it. The Gemara says, "Asur lishloach doron l'ovi kochavim b'yom chagam." You're not permitted to give presents to non-Jews on their holiday. El imkein nodeya lo she'ino moda be'lilim. Unless you know that they're not actually going to go and serve their gods that day. Ve'ino ovdom, and they're not going to worship them. V'chein, similarly, ovi kochavim she'shalach b'yom chago doron l'Yisrael. So to a non-Jew who gives a gift to the Jew, lo yikab you're not allowed to accept it from him. V'im choshish le'eva, but if you are concerned that they're going to be upset with you, mekabalu, you're allowed to accept it. V'yizr kenu b'funav, and you should throw it out in front of them into a pit. O l'makom ha'avod k'la'achayad, or the place where it's going to be lost, k'la'achayad, by accident. What's that talking about? So in the Beis Yosef, it quotes from the Gemara in Masechas Avodah Zarah, I'm pretty sure. Yes, Masechas Avodah Zarah, that's Vav Amabez, about somebody who wanted to give this money to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi on his holiday. So he gives this thing to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and he says, what do I do with this? So Reish Lakish happens to be next to him, and he tells him, oh, throw it into a pit in front of him, and it won't be a problem. So Rabbi Yehuda says, wait, it's going to be a worse problem. If he sees me throw it out in front of him, he's going to be pretty angry. Oh. So to which he said, no, you're supposed to look like you lost it by accident. That way he won't benefit from you from thinking that you have it, and therefore he won't be happy, and you won't be benefiting from it either. So that's the eitzah that was given to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, and that's what what's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. That the ideal, if one gets a holiday present from non-Jews, so then one shouldn't get any benefit from it, and you should even try to make it clear to them that you're not, they should not, that you're not getting benefit from it. So this is a major issue, as one can imagine. Now, is that really the case that is the function of holiday presents? Meaning, that people have today. That nowadays, so you're not allowed to, if you work for a non-Jewish company, you're not allowed to get an end of year bonus because it's interpreted as outright. So that presumably is not the case. But an actual Christmas present on that morning, right, that might actually be considered a more significant problem. That's generally not what happens, right? What happens is, so someplace around that season, people distribute things, and it's generally considered like a professional courtesy rather than considered a religious act, and therefore it's okay. I was reading in some place today that some article that I came across where somebody said that his company, he has a Jewish partner, so So everybody's exchanging gifts at that time of year. So they don't give gifts that time of year. They wait. They wait for before Pesach and send a pound of hand shmur matzah to all of their clients. Jewish or non-Jewish.
Wow.
And they said, this whole thing is really all about marketing and making sure you get noticed. So we have established our own brand. Okay. They love it. They get this like really neat treat, which they're not going to find anyplace else. And we avoid the whole issue of giving presents out in December time. And Shabbat Yisrael, I don't know, found some article I found online.
What's the problem with accepting... Because they're celebrating a holiday.
Because then they're enjoying it. That's part of their...
Enjoying their holiday because they gave you a gift.
Right. Yeah. Right. He actually has, in this article, they discuss this. I don't know who wrote it. It just showed up on Google, but there's no title. It's just out-of-season holiday gifts and greetings. It's the name of the article, but it's pretty well researched. But there's no name attached to it, but apparently it seems like it's somebody from L.A., plus he quotes Rav Gershom Besalat, who... Right, he's probably prominent this time of year because he's the one who puts out the medicine guide. So he quotes from Rav that. So remember, we had this when we started learning Hilchos Yai Nesach. That is, right, the Rama said that you're allowed to get hana from Stam Yinam Bisman Hazeh. Behefsa Meruba, so it would be a great loss. So, okay, what does that mean? So, if you get, so the classic case is you're given a cake, a non kosher wine, what are you going to do with it? All right, is that considered a hefsid? So, Ray Willigan told me that yes, that that's generally considered a hefsid, you're allowed to regift it or get money back for it. So, he had quotes here from Rav Gershon Best told me that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said that if possible, we should be strict. That's something else. He passed that you should get rid of it. Where was that? There's Rav Lusad writes that in some we should not Rav Best Rav. He comes from the Chachma Saltim here, who was machmer on that. And then Rav Daniel Neustadt writes that in some we should not purchase a bottle of non kosher wine to give to a gift to not. Non-Jews, or even re-gift it if we received it from someone else. Both would be considered deriving benefit from Stam Yinam. It concludes that if a substantial financial loss is at stake, one should consult a Rav. That's in his weekly halacha problems. That's his. Okay, so I consulted Rav instead.
What's the difference? Sorry, about throwing it into a pit.
Yeah, that's the way to show him, demonstrate that you're not keeping it. Yeah. So it's falling.
But you don't want to do that in front of the non-Jew.
No, you do, but not on purpose. Not on.
That was
not on. Doing air quotes. Not on purpose. You're supposed to look like.
But then he'll feel bad. He gave me this gift.
No, he won't feel good. No, but you won't. It's not Eva because you're not throwing it back in his face. But he will feel bad that you're not getting benefit from it. But that's okay.
We don't want to feel good.
Okay. So. I heard this system. Sounds a little like
a conundrum-y.
So you think you're clumsy.
You're not always being given it near a pit.
Well, it's only an expression. If you're some other way of...
Somebody at work gives you a gift. Well, be there at work probably. You know, you can't just...
Someone gave me some conquests because I worked on a committee and I couldn't find the headshot. It was like 6 months ago and it's been sitting someplace in my bookcase someplace. I'm just going to like throw it out. You know?
He had a few stories like that in this article as well.
Thank you very much for the chocolate.
What are we gifted to a non-Jew?
Yeah. I can't, it's old already. I forgot about it.
All right. So, anyways, in Sif Ches. So let's go skip to Ches. So, Ein Yom HaChag Aser El Ovdeha Bo Bilvat. That's only prohibited for those that actually worship it. If all of the Chacham is just making, but they're just happy on it, and they eat and drink, but they don't actually worship on it. The Mishamim Musav, only if they minhag, only if they covet Hasar, or because the governor wants them to. Aval Heim Ein Amodim Bo Harei Elu Mutar Lasis Velasimam. So one is permitted to deal in business with them. So that is a good kula to have. But the biggest kula really is in Sif Yud Beis. Right? Sif Yud Beis, he quotes from the from the Rashbam, and it's also quoted in Tosos, as we saw. Yesh omrim she'ein kol hadvarim elu amurim ela uveoso zman. These are only applied in those days. Avam zman hazeh ina b'kim b'tiv el elil. Nobody's really an expert in gods. Lefichach mutu lasis v'lasis zman b'yom chagam ulahavosam uvechol shar dvarim. And you can do everything with them. You don't have to worry about it anymore. Right? Yesh omrim. There are those that quote that. Comes the Raman and says, v'afil, now, the Mechaber wouldn't pass in that way, right? The Mechaber has din v'yesh, right? Stam v'yesh. So when he has a halachos and then says v'yesh omrim, he's not passing like that yesh omrim, right? He's passed, but the Ramah says v'afilu nosnim hamos lekohanim ein osin mehem takroves onoy elilin. That even when you give the money to the priests, they're not making sacrifices out of it. Ela kohanim ochlim v'shosim bo. They're using it to eat and drink. V'od the ispazem mishum eva im nifrush atzmenu mehem. It also causes eva if we separate ourselves from them biyom chagam on their holiday. V'anu shiruyim b'nehem, and we live amongst them. But zrichim lassis v'lassis mam kolashan. We deal with, and we got to deal with, and we got to deal business with them all year round. Right? If we cut off on the busiest day of the year, so we're going to lose the customers the whole year. V'lachein im nichlas period. So that's number one. So the Ramah right away seems to be pretty makel, right? And that seems to be the idea, a mixture of the Mordechai and the Truma Sadesh. The Mordechai saying, oh, you give the money to the priests, they're not using it for their sacrifices, they're just using it to buy potato chips, so that's going to be okay. It's also a also mixed in is the idea of Eva. V'lachein, im nichnas l'ir, if you happen to enter into a city, u'matzim smeichim b'yom chagam, and they're happy on their holiday, yismachim ma'am. Sounds like you should party, right? Mishum Eva dahavi kemach niflehem, because that is like flattering to them. Now, we talked about, you missed it today, we talked about flattery today in First Seder. But it causes Eva because you are not flattering them.
Mm-hmm.
Then he adds it, and this is the part that Joel's been waiting for. Mikol makom bal nefesh yarchik milismoch imahem. A bal nefesh should try not to celebrate with them. Im yochel asos, if at all possible, shelo yiel lo Eva bedar, that there won't be Eva that comes from it. So if there won't be Eva, so then there's no heter to. Well, one should not do it. V'chein im sholeach doron l'ovikachav. If you send a gift to ovikachav, mizman hazeh biyom sheyesh lahem simen im yagia lahem doron b'chagahu, on a day that they will like it if they get it on that day. Im efshar lo yishlochom mibe'erev. If you get it to them before, this is the Trumas Hadashen, you should send them before. V'imlo yishlochom b'chagas, but you're allowed to send it on the day itself. So at the end of the day, the Ramah is trying to be a little bit the machner, but he's not being so machner. And then you have the question. A bal nefesh, who's a bal nefesh? So that leads to the ongoing shaila of whether a bal nefesh is everybody or whether a bal nefesh is not everybody. Right? There's a famous the most popular expression of this that I've heard is that in Rav Amital, who's the Rosh Yeshiva of Gush, when people would go to him with a line in the Mishnah Berurah where it says that a bal nefesh should be machmir or a Yir Shemayim should be machmir, so Rav Amital would say to them, really? You're a Yirei Shemayim? I'd never considered myself a Yirei Shemayim. Like, I'm trying to be, but I'm not now. So how one uses this line, one should try to avoid, but clearly there are situations that come up regularly, bizman hazeh, for those in the business world, that they have to take advantage of these kulas, and that's okay. I mean, that's part of the halachic process, and sometimes needs to be